Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus.
We proclaim as loudly as we can the utter insanity of nuclear proliferation and the need for a nuclear freeze, if only to affirm the simple truth that peace is better than war because life is better than death.
Our friends at WMHT Public Television are premiering a new documentary tonight at 9. Governor Mario Cuomo, Poetry and Prose, focuses on the first Governor Cuomo's 12 years in office, what he accomplished, and what he didn't. The film features interviews with more than 40 former Cuomo officials, reporters, legislative colleagues, and observers, including our own Dr. Alan Chartok. Governor Mario Cuomo, Poetry and Prose was produced by Matt Ryan, the managing editor of WMHT's New York Now, who joins us here in the studio. Good morning, Matt. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about the scope of the project. When did you start putting it together, and how did you nail down all of your interviewees?
I've been thinking about doing this for a long time, and then I've been kind of in fits and starts working on this since March. I think that's when our first interview was conducted with Pulitzer Prize winner Bob Keeler from Newsday, who was just a tremendous resource, especially for my first interview. But, you know, trying to fit this in when I can with my regular job at New York Now, and, you know, I aimed high as far as the interview list. I mean, Alan, of course, was one of the first people that I thought of, and he told me some great, great stories. But, you know, we've got legendary investigative reporter Wayne Barrett, who worked for the Village Voice for decades. You know, locally, Fred Dicker, formerly of the New York Post, Rex Smith, friend of WAMC, editor at the Times Union. Journalists like E.J. Dion, who's a familiar voice here as well, worked for the Times and the Washington Post. And we just got a great collection of people, even kind of out of the box people like a Luke Russert, whose father Tim worked for Mario from 82 to 84. And there's a couple shots of some great old footage of Tim Russert in there.
I want to talk about the archival footage because my understanding is what you did was dove into the archives at MHT and pulled out a lot of old, contemporary daily news coverage of the governor to put this together.
Yeah, that sounds simpler than it really was. In reality, this program that we drew from Inside Albany ran from 1975 to 2006, and you know, before shows like New York Now or Capital Tonight, that was the only show in town that covered the government from day to day, as opposed to a newscast which might run a 30-second soundbite. They covered the meetings, the hearings, and all that good stuff, and. So what happened is we donated all of these tapes to Syracuse University a little less than 10 years ago. So that's where they've been sitting for a long time. And one of the cool things about this process is that, you know, all those old tapes, well, they're not even tapes. Most of them, they're on 1-inch reels. And so those have now been digitized, which are important because a lot of those tapes, who knows if they had been let go for another couple of years, could have been snapped. Ken Burns has talked about that a lot when he went to the National Archives. He might have had this great piece of tape, but once they tried to digitize it, it snapped. So the preservation was pretty important angle too. So yeah, I had some wonderful footage to go through. I mean, you see Mario Cuomo when he was lieutenant governor. Some of the reporters around here, like Fred Dicker, you see them when they were much younger. And yeah, I was like a kid in a candy store.
One thing that really stands out for those of us who live and work in this market is how small a town this can be. When you look back on footage from 25, 30 years ago, a lot of the faces are the same, one of which is that of the current Governor Cuomo, who also gave you a sit down. Take us through his take on this process and also his dad's legacy.
Yeah, Andrew Cuomo does not do these types of interviews. I mean, this is probably the longest sit down TV interview he's done since he became governor. But, I think he was trying to guard a little bit of his father's legacy, as probably all of us would do with our parents. But he gave some funny stories about the 1984 DNC speech about a half hour before Mario was about to go on and give his keynote speech. Andrew said, we'll put some makeup on you. You'll be ready to go. And Mario said, "What do you mean? I've already got my makeup on." So he freaked him out a little bit there. And he told some good stories about the crisis and not crisis, but the drama in 1991 when Mario was thinking about running for president. And Andrew told me something that I kind of thought is that I don't think Mario Cuomo really wanted to run for president, but he felt a lot of pressure, almost a burden from all of these people who wanted him to run. People in Albany, people across the nation, Ron Brown, the former head of the DNC, asking him to run or telling him that he would like to see him run. So I think Mario felt a lot of pressure, but ultimately he truly didn't want to become president.
Just to set this up for people who might not remember it, Cuomo gives a stirring 84 Tale of Two Cities speech at the convention in San Francisco, and then perpetually is mentioned as a probable or possible Democratic presidential candidate, finally gets around to the day of the deadline, and there's a private plane waiting on the tarmac, but he doesn't go and cites the budget crisis here in Albany. Now, in your film, as you mentioned, Governor Cuomo, the current, chalks it up to not having the fire in the belly. Mm-hmm. But did you get any understanding from the rest of the people you interviewed about what might have been at stake for him and why he ultimately didn't pull the trigger that last time?
I had a couple of people who were close to the former governor who said they don't know if anyone truly knows except for Mario and maybe Matilda, maybe Andrew, but very few people. It's really a secret, and I think that's kind of the draw of all this. But you know, one thing, so your listeners know, I mean, this was serious. I mean, there was a woman named June O'Neill, who was the former head of the Democratic Party, who was sent to New Hampshire the day before that final announcement, before Mario ultimately said he wasn't going to go. She was sent up to New Hampshire the night before with two other people. And she goes, okay, how long am I going for? And they said, we don't know. When am I going? Now. So she went up there and met this guy named Joe Grandmaison, a longtime Democratic figurehead in New Hampshire. And you know, he was telling me they had everything set up, the microphones, the lectern, and they were just waiting for the go signal. And they called four or five times that day, Friday, December 20th, 1991. And they said, no, hold on, no, we're almost there. But ultimately, it never happened. And interestingly enough, for those who are big news junkies, the two people who broke this story, one was in Albany and one was in Concord, New Hampshire, Mark Humbert, longtime AP bureau chief here in Albany, and the reporter for the AP up in Concord, a guy named John King, who is now a bigwig at CNN.
Wow. And Humbert makes the point that as Cuomo is saying he won't be running, the national reporters are packing their things up. They saw the star fading in real time, it sounds like.
I can understand that, too, as someone who's worked in the electronic media. You know, when something like that happens and you know, all right, he's made a decision, you got to pack up and go to the next story. You know, why waste your time at something like this when you've got that soundbite of him saying no? You know, you've got to move on. And I can totally see that happening. But can't you just see yourself or hear yourself in that room where you're listening to the governor up there speaking, and you can hear in the background those tripods closing down, the cameras coming off the tripod plate? He really described it pretty well.
We're talking to Matt Ryan, and the film Governor Mario Cuomo, Poetry and Prose, is debuting tonight on WMHT. We got to talk about how it ended for him. You cover the Pataki race in some detail in the film. People close to him thought, I guess, that he thought he couldn't lose for a fourth term, but that's not how it turned out.
You know, there was a lot of people that were telling him, you know, his lieutenant governor, Stan Lundeen, who was from upstate, said, you know, I'm not getting a good vibe up here. I know Andrew Cuomo ultimately said, he told me that he did not want him to run. But, you know, he thought he could get a fourth term. And getting a fourth term, especially when you're governor, is very difficult. And there was a feeling out there of ABC, anybody but Cuomo. And a couple people in the film, I think, accurately described it. George Pataki was a Republican from Westchester/Putnam County, had a pretty clean record. People didn't know much about him. He was pro-choice, which, of course, you're able to draw on maybe more of the independents or the Democrats who are just kind of tired of Cuomo. And he seemed to be a perfect candidate. You know, his platform was pretty specific. You know, he wanted the death penalty and get rid of, you know, lower your taxes. And that appealed to a lot of people. And you know, Mario Cuomo, one piece of video you see, you know, he looks kind of angry, you know, and Andrew Cuomo said his biggest regret in life, if not his biggest, one of his biggest, is not coming back to help that campaign, because I think he ultimately lost by a couple points, and he thought he could possibly be the difference for those 2 points. And he talked about how poorly managed the campaign was, which I heard from Fred Dicker and Mark Humbert. Mark Humbert called it inept. Mm. So, you know, the campaign, I think, really, really hurt him.
He ran out of places to go by choosing not to run for president and then also not going to the Supreme Court. Can you take us through that decision?
Right. George Stephanopoulos talks about it in his book that he wrote a couple of years, that he and Andrew were basically negotiating back and forth. And Andrew told me that this was by far the most difficult decision when you compare it to the president running for president or possibly going on the Supreme Court. He said he came to multiple decisions, but he told me ultimately he thought he could get 6 more years, in essence, 2 more years as governor in his third term and then another 4 years. And Andrew's like, well, I'm not so sure you can get those 4 years. But ultimately, that's why Mario chose not to take that what would most likely be that offer from Bill Clinton. And so many people that I talked to expressed their just total disappointment because they thought that was the perfect job, right, for Mario Cuomo, who always, you know, struggled with these difficult decisions because he could see both sides, and they thought he would be a great person for that.
Let's talk about the title of the film, Poetry and Prose. You know, that's a famous Mario Cuomo phrase, of course. He's criticized by some in the film for being very good at the poetry and not so great at the prose. Governor Andrew Cuomo says that's ridiculous in your movie, and he accomplished a lot over the 12 years. Where do you come down?
You know, I've started to think about this a little bit since going on programs like this, and I think Mark Humbert said it best when he said that... yeah, he's going to be remembered for giving speeches, but that ain't so bad. Mm-hmm. I think that's ultimately, I think without question now, you know, 20, 30 years later, that is what he's going to be remembered for. And, you know, Andrew kind of hinted to me that, you know, if he had one regret is that he didn't maybe go after some of the bigger ticket items, you know, the building a bridge here and there, or just having this one or two signature piece of legislation that Andrew Cuomo, you can argue he got that in his first 6 months in his office between the, you know, property tax cap and same-sex marriage. When you look at his resume, he's got those big ticket items. You know, there's going to be a new Tappan Zee Bridge next year. Mario Cuomo doesn't really have that. And I think that's probably one regret he had after his 12 years.
And what did it mean to him to have his son succeed him as governor? Well, with an interregnum or two.
Yeah. Andrew Cuomo used the word redemption. Because you remember Andrew Cuomo ran for 2002 for governor and ultimately withdrew. Carl McCall was the Democratic choice that year. But he got criticized a lot for that because most people thought it was Carl McCall's turn. And it was right around that time that his marriage fell apart, and it was very public in the papers. And, you know, he talked about how, you know, that was hurtful for him, but it was also hurtful for his father. But, you know, he said they used to have these conversations leading up to 2006 when he became AG and 2010 when he became governor, and that what would they do differently? And so they had been thinking about that possible moment of redemption all those years, and Andrew Cuomo got it in 2010. And in the film, he kind of talks about how proud that made his father. And, you know, talking about redemption, Andrew says people don't elect a Cuomo unless they've kind of overcome the anger they had towards Mario Cuomo.
The film is Governor Mario Cuomo, Poetry and Prose, and it debuts tonight on WMHT Public Television here in the Capital Region. We've been speaking with our friend Matt Ryan, the managing editor of New York Now. Matt, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Ian.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.